Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report, actually episode number 98 for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. And this show, as usual, is sponsored by our newest website, not our nudist website. Boy, talk about a Freudian slip there. How about that, Steve? Our newest website, tlbtalk.com. This show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in shortly. Again, well, I haven't told you this before, so just let me say it for the first time. Don't know why I threw the word again in there. But anyway, the title of today's show is Pull the Damn Plug on the Money Printers. Let me say that again. Pull the Damn Plug on the Money Printers. As in the people who print our money. So, rather than jumping into that, because I could right now, without even a second thought, let me finish the intro. This is a show that, as most of you can guess, has got some points that really piss Roger off. But Roger doesn't really do a whole lot of shows that make him happy. So, the mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts, which is why Roger rarely does a show that makes him very happy. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who is a friend of mine and a very, very good person, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. And yes, Roger's going to do this again. I'm going to tell you that if you make donations to these platforms, you are appreciated. If you're somebody who does a $20 donation now, and hey, 2 months from now, you may even do 30, and hey, 6 months from now, you may even do 50. And the thing of it is, that is appreciated more than you can understand, but there's a way to do it even better. Yes, Roger says this every week, and he will continue to do so. What you can do is average out over the course of the year what you spend on that platform. If it averages out to, say, $120 over the course of the year, divided by 12, that's $10 a month. The next time you go in, click the little button that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation and put $10 in there. You haven't given them any more than what you would normally do over the course of a year, but at the same time, you've helped them to build a budget. When they know what's coming in each month, they can use that to build a budget. They can use that for services. They can use that to increase capability. They can use that to give you, here he goes again, bigger, better, faster. So again, I know a lot of you do make donations, and for that, you are very much appreciated. If you want to take it to the next level, give them something they can count on every single week, a budget they can use to give you bigger, better, faster. And you can do it without spending an extra penny unless you wish to. And if you do, these platforms are worth it. Okay, so let's move on. Pull the Damn Plug on the Money Printers is a massive title. It really is. And it covers a whole lot of territory. So I'm going to cut some of my intro sections a little short today so that we've got enough time to get through all of this. Okay? So our mission is to keep you armed with vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital truths without fear of censorship or exclusion, that being the sponsor of this show, and that's tlbtalk.com. Also, a link to any references for this show presentation will be included in tomorrow's show article published on the Liberty Beacon by noon central every Thursday, including active links to other pertinent data points and articles as well. Always want to keep you informed as to where the information comes from or the major talking points come from to give you, I don't know, to allow you the faith that you want in the message that's being delivered. I will always state that the message I bring you today is not entertainment, nor is it baseless guesses or remote possibilities. Most of what I deliver is in-your-face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability, depending on, here he goes again, our course of action. Quit telling me their course of action. That's all I'm going to talk about today, their course of action. That's all everybody talks about in mainstream media, their course of action. How often do you hear our course of action, or the necessity for, or a good description of, or an organization set up to delve into just that? We all talk about their course of action, and enough of us talking about our course of action. And as I promised, this month, Stephen and I are going to delve into that a little bit deeper, and we will produce a show that will discuss that in as many points as we can bring in an hour. And if need, we'll do two shows. So anyway, now it's down to business, okay? So Eagle's Eye Report, pull the damn plug on the money printers. What do I mean by the money printers? I'm talking about the printing presses that continually turn out dollars. Now, obviously, a lot of this doesn't come through a printing press. It's just a way of saying things so people understand it. A lot of this is done digitally, okay? And again, what we are looking at today is an America sitting on the brink. And what does Roger mean by an America sitting on the brink? Since the 1800s, America has been used by an elitist caste, think Act of 1871, as a tool for their global desires and accomplishments. Let me say that again. Since the 1800s, and in some cases even earlier than that, America has been used by an elitist caste, think Act of 1871. No, Roger's not joking. And will we do a show on that, the Act of 1871? Oh, yeah, we will. And I have a feeling that that's something Stephen would absolutely love to be a part of, wouldn't you, Stephen?
Yes, sir, I would. You didn't ask me if anything was incorrect about your intro.
Okay, what was incorrect about my intro?
Well, I checked the interwebs, and the independent fact checker said everything was A-okay.
Leave it to you. I swear to God, I needed a chuckle right about now, and I think you know that. Okay. Thank you, Stephen. All right. So, again, let's go over this one more time. Since the 1800s, America has been used by an elitist caste, think Act of 1871, as a tool for their global desires and accomplishments, whether it was to influence immigration issues of global importance, because if you think the immigration issue is just something America is suffering, you haven't been doing any homework. So whether it was to influence immigration issues of global importance, military issues of global importance, political issues of global importance, or, and especially, monetary / financial issues of global importance. Anybody who believes that we have not seen any elitist control of the U.S. government since the mid to late 1800s, like I said before that, but it wasn't so obvious, but since the Act of 1871 forward, anybody who says they haven't seen any of this hasn't been looking. And again, if you take a look at the place America had in the world, America was number one in how many different things, in how many different ways? And the dollar became the global currency, and. Wouldn't you say that America, even if it was never intended to be, would have been the perfect tool for a global elitist caste? Whether it was to control world wars, whether it was to control countries that went bankrupt, whether it was to control massive migration or immigration, whether it was to control, America always had a heavy hand within all of this. But as with most tools, they are eventually no longer suited for the task, or something comes along that is actually better. So is America now obsolete in this global elitist caste's eyes? Have we done what they intended us to do? Are we actually standing in the way now? Is the increasing global tyranny and that focused on America, intentional as in choreographed, or at least in some aspects. Must we now be defanged and muted to allow for a new chapter of global governance? How many times have you heard me say, a lot of rolling eyes, I can see them right now. How many times have you heard me say you cannot have global governance until you bring the cowboys of the world to their knees? I'm going to tell you right now, the part of this functionality, bringing America to her knees, anybody who doesn't believe that economically would be the quickest and most effective way to bring a country like America to its knees, better do some more thinking. So again, the question is, must we now be defanged and muted to allow for a new chapter of global governance? Are we now obsolete? Are we? What if, I don't know, what we the people suffer today, if thoroughly examined, would prove unequivocally that those who own and rule this planet have put a system in place in America to not only control the ebb and flow of capital across the planet, but to also collapse the structure in on itself if the day ever came when they thought it was necessary. Look around you, people. America is closest to her knees than she has ever been, with the exception of the Civil War. This isn't a joke, people. This is actually quite bad. And for all who would ask, what do you mean by intentional? Okay. To which I would answer, how much of this could have been avoided? How much, I don't know, over budgeting? How much massive spending? How much of this could have been avoided if responsible actions were taken when signs of budget overruns initially appeared? When they first saw this happening, why didn't they tune the system to avoid this? Or even as proof revealed itself that this overrun was not a one-time thing and would not only repeat itself but grow and eventually exponentially, nobody did anything. For far too long in America, as long as the money flowed, everybody, including those that we elect to represent us, have gone to Washington and have, as a result of what has been offered to them or basically slammed in their face, they have left Washington, D.C. in a much better position economically than when they got there, which in most cases should never have happened. But we're not talking about that. What we are talking about is the fact that their irresponsibility over and over and over again to stack more money on the deficit this country was or should or would or I don't know if could eventually repay. Well, I don't know. Can we? All right. Consider this. In less than 20 years, some researchers are saying at the rate of spending today, okay, 17 years. So I started this off with my guess. In less than 20 years, I'm tweaking it down to something someone else said. It could be as little as 17 years if unchecked. The national debt, listen to me, could match the total of American citizens' private wealth. That alone should be enough to declare a state of emergency. But there's more. There's a lot more. But I want to go over this point. This is my final point before we jump into what else I brought into this. I said, consider this. In less than 20 years, and some researchers are saying in less than 17 years, if unchecked, the national debt could match the total of all American citizens' private wealth combined. At that point, you no longer have a country based on any solid monetary purpose at all. At that point, okay, should we, could we, or must we declare a state of emergency? And again, we're talking what could be 15 to 17 years from now, not 100 years from now, if it's unchecked. And why does Roger say if unchecked? They could have, I don't know, they could have watched the budget. We don't have to be $35 trillion in debt. That never had to happen. It wasn't controlled. Why? Because it was advantageous for them to throw money at this, throw money at that. It got people reelected. It got elites the positions they needed. It got elites the control they needed, so on and so forth. Today, we are sitting in a position that has to be untenable. $35 trillion in debt with not a snowball's chance in hell of repaying it. Stephen, what do you think so far?
I think there's going to be another stolen election by the Democrats, and they're going to, well, I mean, they've been pushing for a civil war for, and a revolutionary war, and I don't know. Who knows if they get it or not, but I see the dead Joe Bob that's been dead for 4 years. I see him doing another 4 years.
I would say that that is a possibility, but I really don't think as much as you do that it's a probability. I do believe that there are a lot of Americans, and I'm seeing this, and we said this, and that's a good point you brought up. We said this prior to the 2016 election. Okay. And we knew the 2016 election was close, and we knew even with all of the rigging. Okay. We know that the 2020 election was basically stolen. We had the proof. It's just never been accepted by Congress or anybody else as proof. So we had an election stolen. What we're looking at right now is an angry population. People I talk to all over the country are saying this is a bunch of crap. I talked to Democrats today that say they're voting for Trump. I talked to other people today that would never vote for Trump who are saying I would rather vote for Trump than see Biden in there for another 4 years.
But
I go ahead.
Well, but you see, what people don't realize is Joseph Stalin once said that it doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes.
I absolutely agree with you. And I also think, and again, this would be another whole show, and I would like to do one on this and get back to our main topic, but this fit perfectly here. Okay. I totally believe that there is going to be a massive participation in the election like we haven't seen before in this election. And that is something that you and I will talk about going forward. I don't think that this election is lost as you do. I'm not saying it couldn't be. What I'm saying is if any election is going to be pushed in the direction of conservative thought in recent history, I believe this one's going to be it. But thank you for your input, Steve. Very, very much appreciated. Okay, so these are our talking points. Again, we bring in the topic, pull the damn plug on the money printers. Why? Because they are driving us into an unsolvable bankruptcy. They are driving us into a position where America will collapse in on itself if the dollar becomes worth absolutely nothing. The ramifications in America will be bad. But with the dollar being the reserve currency across the planet, the implications globally wouldn't be a whole lot better. So I'm going to tell you a few talking points I brought in here, things that I want you to think about when we talk about a faux economy, when we talk about excessive money printing and the need for it. Let's talk about a few reasons why. One of the most recent is Joe Bob. As soon as he gets into office, he finds a bunch of wrecking balls called executive orders, which immediately raise the price of oil almost doubles in this country immediately, as in overnight. What does that do? It raises the price of everything. And once you have done that, the cost to America, just like the cost to you and I, has gone up. So what we are seeing from Joe Bob is not only an increased amount of money you and I have to pay, but an increased amount of money the government has to pay out if it's talking about keeping up with entitlement. Okay, how about this? America must stop funding the world and look after its own. America sends billions upon billions upon billions of dollars all over the world every year to take care of everybody else's problems, including sending about $500 million, listen to me, because I can prove this, about $500 million to the Middle East and other countries over in Europe to help them put up a border wall. Did you hear what I just said? Biden is sanctioning almost $500 million into foreign countries to put up a border wall to keep immigrants from illegally entering their country. Did you hear what I just said? You're paying for that. You won't build a border wall here. How about Social Security? Someone like me, 70 years old, on Social Security. How many people in this country? More every day. We are the baby boomers. We are the largest demographic section in this country, and if not actually right now, within a couple of days. And when you consider that the biggest segment of the population is on Social Security, Social Security is in trouble, people. It is. And that, again, could have been saved had they taken the time and the effort. Can it still be fixed? It can be jury-rigged, but people like me who are 70 years old may not see a reduction or not much of a reduction or may not see an increase in benefits going forward, whereas anybody else coming into Social Security now may have a whole different setup. It may be that you have to be 70 instead of 63. And you can claim benefits, I believe, either at 62 or 63, but full benefits at 65. It may be that you have to wait till 70. It also may be that you're only going to get 2/3 of what someone like me got. Or it may also mean that your yearly raises, may be done away with until a certain amount is reached, and which point it will be instituted. Whatever it is, if Social Security isn't taken care of very quickly, if you're not someone like me who's already been on it for 5, 6, 7 years, they're not going to cut me off. If they cut me off, do you know how many millions of baby boomers are going to be in the street? No. It's going to be to those who are coming up to it. And what you are going to see is going to have to be drastic if it's going to be effective. How about, Medicare? Same thing, people. The cost is out of control. Why? Because when all of this started, the baby boomers were one of the smallest segments in the population. Today, they are the biggest, or will be damn soon. Not a joke, not a guess. How about the next thing that just throws our budget right into the stratosphere? How about the U.S. military being the global police? Why? Why do we spend so much money on military actions across the planet if the globalists aren't using us as the global police to make things go the way they want them to go? Not the way you and I want them to go. Did we want to attack Iran? No. Did we want to? And I there's just so many things I could throw out there. It's insane. But again, America was the best tool the elites ever developed and kept in their toolbox. And it's looking more and more every day like there isn't a place there for us anymore. Or we have, overused our welcome, or we're obsolete. How about the cost of illegal or legal immigrants? Do any of you have any idea How much? 20 million. And there's actually more than that. But you figure the 12 million Bubba Joe's let in, or Joe Bob has let in his less than 4 years, plus the 3 to 5 million they're saying came across the border and nobody stopped them, plus what was already here, even at a much smaller rate, you are looking at in excess of 20 million. Some people would say as many as 13 million. Now, you've got to pay for their housing and that of their children. You've got to pay for their medical bills. You've got to pay for their transportation. You've got to pay for their education. You've got to pay for their food. You've got, would you like me to go on? And we're talking what could be 20 million and some estimates pushed that as high as 30 million. Imagine if it's $20,000 a year to support these people. Now multiply that times 25 to 30 million. Million. You're paying for that. Your country's economy is collapsing partially as a result of that. And Joe Bob will throw anybody in prison who tries to slow down the illegal coming across our southern border. Ask the governor of Texas how many times he's already been threatened just protecting his own population. We are looking at massive numbers here as far as the funding required for illegals. Yeah. But they never asked you, did they? I thought this was a constitutional republic. How about the Federal Reserve can and may well decide America's future. If the Federal Reserve decides that this country is no longer solid, that our dollar is no longer based on anything, that the dollar has to collapse and fold, if the Federal Reserve decides that the United States has to declare bankruptcy, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah. When we come back, I do have an article from Pete Colan, C-O-L-A-N, and the title of his article is "It's Time to Declare a Financial State of Emergency." Gee, does that sound like what Roger's been describing? Maybe that tells you why Roger picked this article to be a part of the show. What is this all based on, people? This is all based on the fact that this country is so far from being so close to being insolvent.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, so do me a favor, everybody. Everybody here, everybody listening to a show like this, you're all suffering from basically the same thing we're suffering from, and that is who controls your word? Who controls what you can say? Who controls what you're allowed to believe is the truth because what you're allowed to see in the first place? Who controls this? And in far too many cases, it's not us anymore. This is the reason for PLBTalk.com. It is a social media platform that is set up to give you as much freedom as we legally can, meaning obviously you can't do things like say severe vulgarities, you can't say illegal things, you can't sell kids and stuff like that. anything that is illegal will be shut down in TLV Talk as fast as it's shut down anywhere else. It will be. Okay. But anything that is freedom of speech needs to be allowed. So the only thing that's going to get you shut down in TLV Talk and kicked off is something that is illegal. The only thing that's going to give you an audience is saying things that people want to hear. If you go on TLB Talk and everything you say is stupid or everything you say is wrong and nobody wants to listen to you and everybody blocks you, that's not you losing your right to free speech. That's you using your right to free speech to let everybody know you're so damn stupid they shouldn't listen to you. So don't come complaining to anybody that everybody's blocked me, so my free speech is being blocked. No, you facilitated the blocking of your own free speech. End of story. The First Amendment says you have the ability to say it. It does not guarantee you an audience. And if it does, show me where it says that, please. And I will kiss your naked butt on Broadway at high noon and let you sell tickets. People out there say, if you won't let me have an audience, or if you restrict me from, no, don't even go there, people, okay? You are only listened to those, to by those who you convince you have a valid or an interesting word. Outside of that, don't go anywhere else. But let's jump back into this. I do have an article. And again, the article is by Pete Colan. And it's time to declare a financial state of emergency. Look, most alternative media readers regularly consume staggering numbers about our debt and deficit. But not all those that report this news will put those numbers in a perspective that provides meaningful context. We're going to try and do that for you. Again, the reason I picked this. I give you the basics. I give you the outline. This guy fills in the blanks down to a gnat's butt. Will it be applicable to this discussion? Yes, it will. The USA is on track to have a national debt of $35 trillion very soon. This is Roger speaking. We're talking about days, okay? Which is rising by, listen to me, $1 trillion about every 100 days. The deficit in the United States is rising by approximately $1 trillion every 100 days. That's $3.6 trillion every year. We're no longer doling out free cash for COVID, so it's a good assumption the $3.6 trillion additional annual debt is this administration's business as usual. Or should I say, Steve, corruption as usual. Yeah. According to Finance Buzz, total private wealth in the U.S. is about $111 trillion. Again, total private wealth in the United States is about $111 trillion. Cross-checking with other sources and doing the math, according to the U.S. Census, there are 125,736,353 households, and the average net worth for U.S. families, according to NerdWallet, is about $1.06 million per family, referencing Federal Reserve Board's survey of consumer finances. This computes to $94 trillion. So just for the sake of the argument, let's round off the total privately held and just individually held wealth in the U.S. to $100 trillion. Okay, for the record, a lot of sources like to use median when presenting numbers like wealth, income, etc. Median is not mathematically useful in calculations because it is a number that is corrected by the number of values in a data set. median income and wealth are presented substantially lower than the average in the U.S. because there is a smaller number of people with much greater wealth income than those with very little wealth income. So a median number will be biased by the number of people presented in the sample with very little wealth or income. Look, the author has no problem with median as an interesting reference, but it's basically useless when you're using it in computations, and I agree with him. Moving on, at a rate of $3.6 trillion added debt per year, it will only take 17 years, as I stated earlier, for the national debt to match the total of American citizens' private wealth. That alone should be enough to declare a state of emergency. But wait, there's more. I want to state his point again before I go to the more. Moving on, at a rate of $3.6 trillion added debt per year, it will only take 17 years for the national debt to match the total American citizens' private wealth. That alone should be enough to declare a state of emergency. But as I stated, there's more. In all that private wealth, liquid cash, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, not even a big chunk of it is. So let me state that again. Is all that private wealth liquid, as in cash? Nope. Americans only have about $1 trillion in liquid personal savings in the United States. The rest of that $100 trillion wealth is mostly in non-liquid assets, which cannot cover the debt if the economy crashes from debt default, because current value of non-liquid assets depends on a strong and predictable economy, not a volatile one. So again, when I stated, this is Roger talking, could the Federal Reserve pull the plug on America? Yes, they can. And this is one of the biggest qualifiers along that area. Is the debt being serviced entirely by private sector income? Nope. Average household incomes of $87,864. That's supposedly the average household income today. When Roger was a kid, and Roger was born in 1954, if your household was bringing in $2,400 a year, that was a decent income. Teachers were making about $2,600 dollars a year, not thousand. Okay. So let's say this again. Is the debt being serviced entirely by private sector income? Nope. Average household incomes are now $87,864. Not joking, people. Not all of that comes from the private sector, however. So we must correct that number by income obtained from the government, from taxes paid to the government. I'm making the gross assumption here, just for the sake of argument, that money spent by a government eventually largely makes its way to personal income, be it through wages, contracts awarded to companies who pay wages, service providers who pay wages, direct SSA and Medicare benefits, and even profits of privately and publicly traded companies who are paid by the government must eventually distribute those funds and will pay dividends. So for now, I believe that's pretty much a safe assumption. Federal spending will be about $6.5 trillion. Much of that is delegated to the states for various reasons, so that we can't look at state spending as a reliable figure, but we can assume state tax income overall is about their level of spending because they are supposed to be reasonably and fiscally responsible since they can't print their own money. California and New York are exceptions to the rule of fiscal accountability. Gee, I wonder why. Total state income is about $1.5 trillion per year. So, doing the math once more, total household income is about $125,736,353 households times 87,864 average household income. And this is how you come up with the total household income of approximately $11 trillion per year in America. But we must cut that back by Fed spending and state income, which totals $8 trillion, leaving only $3 trillion coming from the private sector. The ratio will be rapidly changing for the worse as the baby boomers continue to enter retirement and add to the already overwhelming Social Security and Medicare burdens and stop contributing to the private sector GDP. Now, the only thing I'm not crazy about that this author has to say is when he says, and stop contributing to the private sector GDP. I don't know what world that person lives in, but we are constantly making purchases even after retirement. And a lot of retired people have a considerable amount of money they have put in the bank that is not government money and that they may use to purchase a second home or a travel trailer to go around the country now that they're retired or. So to say stop contributing to the private sector, I'm not quite so sure that's an accurate statement, but to say to reduce their spending to the private sector, I would agree with. Looking at it another way, current federal and state spending funds approximately 70% of its own tax income through its own spending. You reach communism at 100%. Listen to me again. Looking at it another way, currently federal and state spending funds approximately 70% of its own tax income through its own spending. You reach communism at 100%. It's time to declare a state of financial emergency. Okay, Stephen, question to you, okay? You aren't quite my age, you have lived in this country long enough. Have you seen a general decline in the standard of living in America? Or in most cases, have you seen an increase in the standard of living in most places in America?
I have seen a decline. My first job was in 1983 in a factory. Well, I wouldn't say my first, but the second one.
Yeah.
I made $5.25 an hour. I thought I was a hot shot. I bought a car, a used car, and I bought a used motorcycle, and I lived high off of the hog.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It is.
First, I did live at home, but the very next car I bought was brand new, and the very next motorcycle I bought was brand new, and I was making, let's see, that was 1988, so I was probably around $7.50 an hour, and I still thought I was living high off the hog, and I was able to swing both of those new car and a new motorcycle payment and still have money at the end.
I was taking month. Home over $80,000 a year in the early 1980s, but then I was traveling the globe fixing government things that weren't working anymore. And between the amount of time away from home and the technical skills required for the job, that was a well-paid job back then.
Yes.
But if you take a look at what's happening today, the average household income today is $87,000. That was a rich person in the early 1980s when you started working.
Yes,
that was a rich. Now it's the average household income. That's only if you have two jobs. And now, what are they trying to do in California? Make the minimum wage $20 an hour. I'm not against giving people more money if they're worth it. But if you are going to set a state minimum wage that is absolutely going to destroy a lot of mom and pop businesses within that state, and it will.
Certainly.
All you're doing is adding to what Gavin Newsom's been doing to California since they put him
in
the governorship.
You know,
and that's destroying it.
I've got an idea what's going to happen. He's going to do what you say, and all of these mom and pop grocery stores, gas stations, restaurants, whatever the case, they're all going to go under, go belly up like they did 4 years ago when the scam hit.
Yeah.
And they are going to try to get all of these 11 million illegals to buy all of these stores, grocery stations, grocery stores and gas stations, and they'll say, look, we've got a booming economy over here in California. It's all because of me.
Well, I don't know exactly if that's going to be allowed to happen, because you've already got a lot. I've lived in California twice. Okay. And I can tell you right now, the people I still know there are, dare I rate. Okay. And it's getting worse by the day, not better.
Well, I mean, I go back to what I said about Joseph Stalin. And what his quote was.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And I think, what was his name? Mark Twain. He also said if voting actually counted, they would make it illegal.
I would tell you this, okay? And this is something that everybody really does need to understand and participate in if you think you can. I have talked to a lot of Republicans, and I have talked to a lot of conservatives. I've even talked to some Democrats and some independents who are all telling me they are going to be voting for Trump. Who are all telling me that this is what's going on in America today is so obviously tyranny. So obviously, listen to me, people. This isn't a joke. Treasonous. Roger doesn't use that word lightly. Roger spent his entire career either in or working for the military. Does he know what that word means? He knows damn right well what that word means. But I've told you people this over and over again. Okay, I told you over and over again, when a president is sworn in, he puts his hand on a Bible in front of the entire world, because yes, the whole world is watching when a U.S. president is signed in or sworn in, and he swears to protect the United States citizens, you and me, from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, which he is not only not doing, he's punishing anybody that's keeping them from coming into the country. This is what's happening. What we are looking at right now is finance. What we are looking at is a failing state. Let me ask you a question. If there are 12 to 15 million people that have come in on Joe Bob's watch, they're saying could be as many as 12 million, and with another 3 million that were never caught. So let's say 12 to 15 million, plus they're saying there were already about 10 million here from the last 10, 15 years prior to that. Okay, so let's just say 25 million. Let's just round it off, all right? There are 25 million illegals in this country. Do you know what that costs? Do you know what it costs to feed them? Do you know what it costs to put their kids in school? Do you know what it costs for their health care? Do you know what it costs for their transportation? Do you know what it costs for pocket money? Would you like me to go on?
Hey, Roger.
Yeah?
I got a friend that comes on every other week or so, almost every week, for an hour. He calls it helicopter money. You know, you hear everybody saying if they just print money out of thin air, I mean, why do we need to pay taxes? So what's the difference? I mean,
I agree, but I just want to get through this talking point before I forget what I started to say.
Okay.
Where was I?
Millions of people coming in.
Yes. And what we're talking about, a financial pitfall here. Okay. Let's imagine 25 million illegals or immigrants in this country who are on the government dole. Imagine what it costs, as I said, for their food, for their education, for their housing, so on and so forth. Let's average $20,000 to $25,000 a year per. So take $25,000 and multiply it times 25 million people. And then you wonder why the hell our monetary system is at the point of collapse. Have you got a clue what it's costing us for this? And it's all illegal. It shouldn't be happening, but we have a treasonous president who will punish anybody who tries to stop it. Are you listening to me, people? You want to know why the U.S. deficit has screamed up more in the last 3 to 4 years than in the last 30 to 40 proportionally? Why Joe Bob has got his finger on the money printers? Not a joke, people. Not even a guess. What's the title of the show? Huh? Put. I can't put it any more blatant than this. Pull the damn plug on the money printers. Everything we are looking at, what Joe Bob is doing on the southern border, what Joe Bob did when he immediately shut down production of oil, or damn near shut down production of oil, would not put out any more government leases, so on and so forth. The things that have been done in the last 3.5 years have put America in the worst position she has ever been in. And when you want to continually blame this on Trump, and I don't give a damn who likes that, when you want to continually blame this on Trump, you better take a look at the economy when they stole the election from him. You better take a look at what America was living in during the Trump years. Okay? And I will guarantee you this. If Joe Bob is allowed to steal this election, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think far too many Americans are awake and will be. I think there will be ballot watching. I think there will be. Yeah, I think all of this is going to happen. I do. And I'm going to be part of it. So I do think it's going to happen. What we are looking at right now is we step up or we step out of the way. And if we step out of the way, what's going to happen isn't going to make anybody listening to this show happy. The type of people who listen to a show like this are people who understand the necessity of this election being an actual election of, by, and for we the people. Because if it isn't, what we will see is the final 4 years required to bring America to her knees. The final 4 years required to bring the cowboys to their knees before global governance can be successfully instituted. Steve, have I got this wrong?
No, not at all.
You had to clear your throat to say that.
Yes, I did. But
okay. Anything you'd like to add?
Well,
that's,
you know, deep. I've got my thoughts. I think we're just watching a movie.
Oh, we are. And a lot of this is choreographed. So don't think that if you said that, I'd laugh at you and say, that's ridiculous. No, a lot of this is choreographed. And when you turn the United States into a corporation in 1871, and you've got powerful people across the planet who understood the mechanism, the tool, America could be in their toolbox going forward, and they have used it. World War I didn't have to be the way it was, but America was the tool. World War II didn't have to be the way it was, but America was used as a tool, and I could go on and on. America has not practiced true freedom since 1871. We have been a tool, and now this tool is becoming obsolete. They need something else for global governance, and America no longer fits the billet.
Do you know
anybody think I'm joking? Go ahead, Steve.
I don't recall if I told you something, but I don't know, about 6 months ago, an idea just popped into my head. I thought about something. Yeah. Look back, go through the list of all of the presidents since George Washington. I think virtually every single one of them does not have a European name or an American name. I think they're all Ashkenazi Jewish names, except for maybe Johnson, Lyndon Johnson.
I would tell you something that most people have already guessed, or most people would figure out if they just did a little bit of research, and that is that the Zionist lobby, the global Zionist lobby, is the most powerful thing with any pretense to political endeavors on the planet.
Yep. Well, I mean, they're all Jewish names, all 45 of them. Trump's a Jew. Biden's a Jew.
No, Biden's a Catholic.
He
tells the whole world he is.
Well, so was Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly.
But you do know that the Catholic Church, the Vatican, was not welcome in America from 1867 until 1983.
Again, that's another whole show, and I would really like to do that. So
yes,
don't
it
forget
is.
That.
Yes, it is.
Don't forget that.
All right.
All right. I think we're just about done, but let me wrap it up with this, okay? Today we're talking about a financial collapse, the possibility of a financial collapse, and what is and is supposed to be the most powerful and the most prosperous nation this planet has ever seen. But yet today we teeter on the verge of collapsing into a 35-plus trillion dollar hole. This isn't a joke, and we didn't have to be here. The reason we're here is because this is part of the treatment of the tool I've been telling you about. When a tool reaches its life's expectancy, you don't continue to use it. You find a way to replace it. And I don't know about you, Stephen, but it seems more and more by the day we're in the replacement mode.
Yes, sir. Replacement mode as in what? A new world order?
Yes. Yeah. A new world order. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Look, we're going to be talking next week. We're going to be taking this to the next level because I really, really do think that we need to talk about the global situation now, not about America, not about Russia, not about Ukraine, but about a global situation and how it affects the entire planet. So I think we're going to take this to the big level next week, Steve.
All righty. That sounds good.
Are we done?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. You're all appreciated. Have a great day.
Yep.
You too, Steve.
Yep. Until next week, folks.